Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Hear and Receive as we pick up in Mark chapter 4, verse 20. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
It is the Lord's desire that each of us bring forth much fruit. Herein is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. But I think how often a person's work for God is thwarted or limited, that their lives are not really productive for the kingdom because their hearts are drawn away. They're not sinners. They're not out and out rebellious against God. They love the Lord. They have the right desires for God. But they also have desires for the world, for the things of the world. And thus their lives never achieve what they should and could achieve for the glory of God because the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for these other things have choked out that full fruitfulness that God would have them to bring forth for Him. It is so difficult to maintain the right priorities in this world today. Pressures of the world are heavy, and it is so difficult to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in all of the pressures that we are faced in our culture and society, based as it is so much around material things. That's the one that I would study and be most concerned in my own life. This is the thing that concerns me most in the parable. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should be my disciples, and that you should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." The greatest desire that I have is that my life bring forth fruit that does remain. Now, these are they which are sown on the good ground. They hear the word, they receive it, and they bring forth fruit in varying degrees, some 30, some 60, some 100. And then he said unto them, "Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear." Statement that Jesus is always making as he is speaking is, hey, if you have ears to hear, hear. And unless our ears are opened by the Spirit of God, we don't have ears to hear. It is only as the Spirit gives us the capacity, for the natural man cannot know the things, does not understand the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. But all the way through in the book of Revelation, when Jesus is talking to the church again over and over, he's saying, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." Now, you are the light of the world. A light is intended to illuminate the darkness, not to be hid under a candlestick. The light that God has given to you is not something that you are to just hold for yourself. It is intended to bring light to others. And he said unto them, "Take heed what you hear." Now, there is a common thing today of people saying, "Well, you know, let's hear what he has to say." You know, they turn on Channel 18 and that guy's talking with his high squeaky voice. And he's got his flowers, you know, and well, let's listen. Let's see what he's got to say. The Lord said, "Take heed what you hear." You know, someone says, "Well, I wanna hear what they're saying, you know. I wanna know what they're saying." I have a friend who had a very remarkable conversion. He lived out in the area of Victorville. He owned about 5 different businesses out there. He was an extremely successful person. He owned a tractor agency. He owned an excavating company and just had many business interests. He was an Episcopalian, very nominal Christian, one of the Christmas Easter variety. And one night, he had a dream in which he was holding a sick little baby in his hands. And he was praying for that baby, and it was healed. And he woke up, and it was very vivid. And he went back to sleep, and this dream repeated itself 3 times. So in the morning, he called up his priest to share with him this dream about praying for a baby and it was healed. The priest said, "I don't know anything about that. Maybe you should call Paul Smith, who is my brother, and he can probably tell you about it." So this fellow called my brother, and my brother talked to him about the Bible and about healing in the Bible and things of this nature. Well, he was delivering a tractor part to one of his customers. In the evening, on his way home, he had the part had come in. The guy was needing it real bad. And he thought, "Well, I'll drop it by his house on my way home." And when he got there, the fellow wasn't there. So he was explaining to the wife just how to tell her husband, you know, the procedures by which the part was to be put on the tractor. And as he was getting ready to go, this little child began to cry in the other room, and the mother went to get it. And he was shocked when she brought the child in. It was crying. It was the child that he had seen in his dream. And the mother explained how that the little baby had swallowed some gasoline and had burned the stomach lining, and how that the child would wait until the hunger pains were so great that they were greater than the pain of eating. When the child would eat, the stomach would, because of the rawness, would just begin to convulse, and the child would be in tremendous pain, and there was really nothing they could do about it but just wait for the slow healing processes. And evidently the child was having the hunger pains again and was crying, and so the mother said, "I guess I'll have to feed it." And she was just really upset. And he said, "Well, ma'am," he said, "I don't know what's going on. I don't understand this at all." But he said, "I had a dream. And I couldn't understand the dream. But he said, in the dream, I was holding a child in my hands. And I said, as I look at your child, it's the child I saw in my dreams." And he said, "As I was holding it in my hands, I prayed for it and it was healed." He said, "Would it be all right with you if I would hold your child and pray for it?" And she said, "Yes, of course." And so he took the child in his arms and prayed for it. And the child said, "Mommy, I'm hungry, you know." So the mother said, "Would you mind waiting while I feed the child? Because in just a few moments, it'll really start screaming as the food begins to hit the stomach." So he waited, and the child ate. No response at all. Completely healed. Well, this guy didn't know what to make of it at this point. Something totally new to him. But needless to say, he really started to dig in the Word of God, in the Gospel and the book of Acts. He decided that the Lord was maybe calling him into the ministry. And so he sold his businesses and went to the Claremont School of Theology, which is about as liberal as any institution you can attend. There's more atheism and unbelief, I think, there than probably in most secular universities. And as he was sitting in the classes listening to the professors, seeking to discount the miracles, seeking to discount the Word of God, seeking to discount Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, resurrection, and all of these things, he was only desiring really to get the degree so he could go out and start ministering in the Episcopal priesthood. And so he thought, "I don't believe this junk that they are telling me." And he thought he had his defenses up. And he thought as this stuff was coming out that he was rejecting it and thoroughly rejecting it. And you know, I know that isn't true. All I want is a degree from this place. Get out of here and really start serving the Lord. But day by day, this junk was pouring in and he was hearing it. Be careful what you hear. He found that as he was talking with his Christian friends and someone would bring up a scripture, he would say, oh, but you can't believe that. You see, in the original, that isn't there. And he realized that this junk that was coming in was somehow taking root and was affecting his whole attitude and opinion of the Bible. He ended up one evening in an orange grove out in Upland, sitting in his car with a .45 pointed to his skull, ready to pull the trigger. He was so confused by the teaching that he was receiving there at the Claremont School of Theology, he was ready to take his life. It just brought him into a complete confusion. And there the Lord began to speak to him again. And he, of course, quit Claremont School of Theology and opened up a little church in Big Bear and just started to minister. But you've got to be careful what you hear, because whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. You cannot sow to your flesh and reap of the Spirit. Be careful what goes in your ears. It's going to leave its mark. It's going to have its effect upon you. I don't appreciate people just dumping garbage in my mind. Be careful what you hear. And with what measure you meet, it will be measured to you. By whatever standard you are judging others, that is the standard by which you are going to be judged. And unto you that hear shall more be given, if you hear the truth. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. And he said unto them, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed, and that would be the word, into the ground, and he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knows not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now, what the Lord is saying is that there is this beautiful, unconscious growth taking place as God's word is being planted in your heart. As you come Sunday nights, and as we go over the word, and as you're hearing the word, the seed is being sown. The seed is being planted. And you go home, you sleep, you live life as normal, but the word of God is having its effect. You can't always see it immediately, but there is that growth. First the blade, and then, you know, the stalk, and then the ear, and then the full corn. But the word of God will have its effect in your life. And gradually, you will see your life being transformed and changed just by the power of the word that is coming into your heart day by day. The glorious power of God's word changing a person's life. For if you sow to the Spirit, then of the Spirit you're going to reap. Now, sometimes we get restless and we get impatient and we want to see the fruit immediately. You know, we want to plant our seeds like Jack and the Beanstalk and go out the next morning and climb the thing, you know, that's fully matured. We would like instant growth. But our spiritual growth is imperceptible many times. There's just that unconscious work on our part. But then we look back and we see how far we've come. Wow. I can see the work of God. I can see how far the Lord has brought me. And this is just the beauty and the value of God's word being sown in your hearts. You know, without even realizing it, by your being here and God's word being sown in your heart, there are changes that are taking place slowly, gradually, imperceptibly, on a day-by-day basis, but over a period of time, you can see things developing and growing. And oh, how glorious when it begins to really bring forth fruit in your life. when you find that God has already changed your attitudes. And things that used to just make you so totally angry and upset, you know, it's just sort of, oh, well, you know, they need help, you know, pray for them, you know. And you find that, hey, is that me saying that, you know? Wow. And you can see that God's word has had its effect, the life-changing effect. And it's so unconscious, really. It's not struggling. It's not laboring. It's not trying so hard. I'm going to do this now, you know. And it's not that big works effort, but it's just that beautiful, unconscious work of God's Spirit transforming, changing me into the image of Christ through the effect of the word of God being planted, the seed planted in my heart. And he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? So this is a comparison now. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Mustard seed is a very tiny little dark seed. Looks like a carnation seed. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all of the herbs. Now, they all had their herb gardens. And they all grew their mint and anise and cumin and rosemary and so forth, their spices, their mustard. And this grows up taller than the rest of those herbs that they grew. And it shoots out great branches. Wait a minute, this isn't what a mustard plant does. So here we have an abnormal growth, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Uh-oh, things are bad when the fowls of the air, because remember what the fowls represent? Satan coming in, taking away the seed that was sown. Christianity is a term that was first used in Antioch by the people of Antioch who put this tag upon those who were living like Christ. They said, oh, they're Christ-like. And that is what the term Christian actually means, Christ-like. However, in time, the term has come to a much broader meaning. And it is a term that has been applied, like in the Middle East, if you're not a Muslim, then you're a Christian. And in America, if you're not an atheist, you're a Christian. And we used to say a Christian nation, but it's far from a Christian nation. Thus, it is quite obvious that those things that have been done in West Beirut, in the Palestinian camps, are not at all Christ-like. For Jesus said, love your enemies, do good unto those that despitefully use you, bless those that curse you, bless and curse not. He taught us that we were to love, that we were to forgive, that we were to help. And thus to say that the Christian militia went in and slaughtered the Palestinians is totally wrong. The militia went in, to be sure, but not a Christian militia. Had a Christian militia gone in, they would have taken food and clothing and medicines, and they would have helped those people, because that's what Christ taught us to do. And it is extremely unfortunate that there are enemies of Christ, especially planted in many areas of the news media, who like to pick up on the misnomer of Christian militia and to somehow lay the blame of the slaughter of the Palestinians upon all of Christianity or upon all the Jews whom they also hate. And so we see very sad caricatures of Christianity or Christians, such as was in the Register this week, where you have this ghoulish-looking character with a gun smoking and tramping over the bodies in refugee camp number 2, and underneath the caption, "Onward, Christian Soldiers." The Santa Ana Register is making an attack against every one of you who believe in Jesus Christ. They are ridiculing your faith. It is a definite attack upon every true child of God. It's a blasphemous attack. It's an unfair attack. But they don't care about fairness in their war. But we, in being Christ-like, must obey and follow Jesus Christ. We must love, and we must forgive.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Mark on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Mark 4 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. Fill your heart with love. Fill your heart with praise. Fill your heart with God's Spirit, that He might work in you, bringing you into the image of Christ, helping you to be what God wants you to be, a true representation of Him before this poor, sad, sin-cursed world. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Want to know how to gain wisdom from God? Then don't miss out on Wisdom for Today by Pastor Chuck Smith.
Hi, this is Cheryl Broderson. Growing up, I had the wonderful privilege of spending every morning with my dad. And every morning, he would impart to me just a little bit of God's wisdom. Now, you can have that same opportunity if you pick up my father's devotional, Wisdom for Today. It's a 365-day trip through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And each day ends with a special prayer incorporating what you learn into your heart. That's Wisdom for Today. I pray that you have a wonderful journey with my Father.
The gift of wisdom is priceless. Be sure to order Wisdom for Today by Pastor Chuck Smith as a gift for yourself or for a friend. Call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-9673. Or to read a sample, visit thewordfortoday.org.